This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we're talking about Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy.
All right, guys. I think we really got something here.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Some guy. All right, this movie came out in 1996. Directed by Kelly McGillis.
Hell of a career.
Yeah.
Written by the kids in the hall. I mean, I'm seeing all of them except for Foley.
Foley. That was weird. Everybody hated him at this point.
I don't know the whole story, but originally he was supposed to have like a larger role, and he actually was one of the writers, and then he just like wound up filming his stuff like contractual obligations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Starring David Foley, Bruce McCulloch, Kevin McDonald, Mark McKinney, Scott Thompson. There's your kids. And then you have a few other people here. I don't know. Is anyone worth talking about?
Nicole DeBoer. She was one of the groupies. Just because she was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine as Ezri Dax. And I don't know. I know I don't need to explain that to you, Jeff. There was a very funny cameo
by Encino Man, by a caveman.
Yes.
He's a caveman. Honorable mention.
Okay, well, Scott, this is your movie. Do you think what's your history with it?
It's Alex's. Jesus.
Well, Alex. My history with this movie,
right, because
it's my pick. I think I caught this, I want to say I caught this randomly somewhere. Like, I started watching, like, I caught a couple sketches of Kids in the Hall, and I thought they were pretty funny. And then in the video store, I saw that they made a movie, and I was like, holy shit, Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy, all right. So I rented it, and I loved it.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess that's a good question, or a good thing to start off with. Were you guys familiar with Kids in the Hall before the movie came out? Did you guys watch it, religiously, or just what's your history with that in general?
I think I'd seen most of them on HBO at that point, and I enjoyed it, although probably a lot of the humor was probably over my head in 1996, or at least a good chunk of it. But I did enjoy it. They have some skits that are that I still remember vividly for being hilarious. So.
Never put salt in your eye.
Just the sketch where they're on the stairs, like with the weird musical. Like, it's so good. They just keep singing about how they're going up a step. Like, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Wow,
but it's wonderful. And then can you stop the world, Dad? The Bruce McCullough is like the rebellious.
Jeebus, I love his sketches the best. Yeah. I work at a bank. Is that fucked or what?
For me, I had heard of Kids in the Hall, and I'd seen a few skits at friends' house and stuff, but I never had HBO, so this was kind of I didn't really know much about it. I remember in junior high, people going around, like, crush your head. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Alex and I, like, personal favorite, the Hey Lopez.
Yeah. That was great.
On paper, it doesn't work, but once you actually, like, get it.
Yeah, when you
Mark
see
McKinney,
it.
Mark McKinney, yeah.
All right.
Follow up question on that before we get into it. Maybe it's part of somebody's list, but who do you think is kind of like the MVP here? Not that it matters or isn't important, but like I'd have to say it's probably Mark McKinney with the between the. The analog for Lorne Michaels,
Are you basing it on laughs? Like, who made you, which made you, in general, all the characters put together, made you laugh the most? I think it was just,
like,
doing overall,
doing, like, the funniest things overall. Oh,
the most yeoman's work?
Yeah. It was a tough call, though.
I know. His, well, not Foley, of course, because he didn't want to, or he couldn't, yeah, or yeah, both.
I mean, definitely. See, I still thought he was good in this, though.
So. Yeah, but he was. Funny. He was great.
The awkward teenage girl is pretty funny, even though she's in a couple scenes. Yeah, I don't know if you guys had thoughts on that.
No, my list is McCulloch heavy, because he's my favorite.
Yeah, I'd probably say McCulloch, too.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, they're all like, that's what made them good. Scott Thompson had his thing. I guess Kevin McDonald, I don't know, he's kind of Kevin McDonald. I don't know.
He had probably my favorite character in the whole thing, though, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all hilarious.
I'm thinking of him from Seinfeld now. With the
denim vest,
yeah.
Yamahama. It's right, mate.
All right. Anyway, my history. Yeah, like I said, I watched the sketch show a couple times, but that's with like at sleepovers and stuff, and I don't really know what's going on. And I've never seen this movie. Didn't know anything about it until today. Scott, yeah, what's your history with the movie itself?
Yeah, I think I saw it in theaters.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember recognizing Brendan Fraser, probably from Encino Man. But
yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's that guy from Blast of the Past.
Yeah, well, I don't think that movie was out yet. But yeah, I remember enjoying it. I do not remember it being this dark. There's a lot of dark humor in this movie, which I didn't remember. Yeah, enjoyed seeing it. It's been quite some time.
All right, well, let's get into it. As usual, we're each going to talk about 7 items from the movie. Alex, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is Dave Foley, and we gave you a preview at the beginning of the podcast, but he's just a guy.
Some guy.
I think we got something here. Who are you? Just a guy. I love that they bring him back for a second joke. He's like, oh, come on, guys, let's go out and celebrate.
I wish they'd left it. Like on him longer when he's walking away, like
yeah,
that would have been funny. But,
with the bad mustache and everything. Yeah, I think we got something here.
All right. Well, that's my number 7 as well. I was sad to hear that there was a rift. I never knew all this. Yeah. Dave Foley is my favorite just because of News Radio. Like, that's kind of where I know him more from anything is News Radio. So he's my favorite.
That might have been what caused the rift. The rest of the kids were like maybe jealous.
They're so stuck in the hall and he's in Hollywood.
Yeah, he's out of there.
He's now a man in the hall. Yeah.
But for whatever reason, like, I always liked him because of that. And so I still thought his stuff was funny. His main character, I forgot his name. This is Marv here. I mean, that kind of, it is playing the same character, kind of. Maybe not the same character. He's dressed the same. He's a businessman from the show, so.
He's dressed the same. Basically the same character.
Yeah, but the some guy thing. Because I was like, oh, there he goes, some guy. Okay, yeah, he is some guy. And I thought, well, maybe he was at first. He was the Marv character in disguise, and he found out they had this breakthrough, and he was going to tell the boss man. That's what I kind of thought. And then I was like, no, you can't think too hard about this show. They're all just playing the same different characters. And that'd be really fucked if they threw that in there. So anyway, Dave Foley / some guy. It's my number 7. Scott.
Okay. My number 7 was the real quick went off of the queen approving the drug.
Yeah.
It was such a dumb joke, but just Scott Thompson dressed up as the queen because, you know, Canadian, so technically the queen is their queen. But just the idea that she would be the one to approve drug use in Canada was pretty hilarious. So, yeah, that's my number 7, just a quick gag.
All right. Alex, number 6.
My number 6. This is another one-off gag. And I I used to quote this a lot, and I should again because I forgot about this. It's like, so what do? I've invented a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends.
He used to say that all the time when we worked together. It's a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends.
Could it give worms to ex-boyfriends? This is a pill for the world. Gives worms to ex-girlfriends.
You just don't get it here.
Again, Scott Top. I mean, Bruce McCulloch. Gold.
Yeah. All right. My number six, and I thought this movie kind of started off good and then kind of dragged at the end. I was not looking forward to watching this.
Oh, shut up, robot.
The fuck was that?
It's my robot. Okay. From Rocky IV.
Happy birthday.
What are we, nerds?
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Anyway, I was not looking forward to watching this, as usual. And but I give it a chance, and I was laughing and I was liking it. And then like the last 30 minutes or so, I was just kind of like, ugh. I don't know. I didn't feel like they stuck the landing, which a lot of comedies, I think, have that problem where they have a cool idea for some jokes. And then they're like, oh, we actually have a plot here. We kind of have to finish it. Like, I think Office Space is one of the funniest movies. And I still, same thing at the end. It's just like, okay. So
that did it somehow. But yeah, I agree, Jeff. I feel like the first 20, 30 minutes, like almost everything's landing. And a lot of it was making me laugh out loud. And then in the middle, it's still funny, but not as much as the first, like, leg of the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's when they find the coma victims for me. It's like, okay. That's when it starts slowing down.
That's probably is when it happens. All right, Scott, number six.
Number six is the I'm Gay March.
that was great.
All of it is funny, but the kids high-fiving at the beginning, like, cracked me up.
Oh, his children.
The kids, I'm the gay. Kids.
Yeah. Yes, he's gay. Each other.
just him marching down the street and people doing cartwheels, and then how it all ends kind of ignominiously, where everybody just goes back to what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
Cares. the kids high-fiving was great.
One thing I was thinking of when I was watching this, so Scott Thompson's the other guy I knew from the Larry Sanders Show. For the longest time, at least he was like the gay guy in Hollywood, right? Like that, at least that I knew of, right? It was just back in the times where not many people were out. So it was just weird seeing that, like, how things have changed and still has room to go. But it was just like, he was the gay guy I knew in Hollywood.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of, like, out and proud guys like him,
Yeah, only him and Tom Cruise.
And, well,
a young say that, we'll get sued.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Now I'm never classy, too.
All right, Alex, number five.
My number five is Mrs. Herdecure's Patient 957's her happiest memory. And yeah, folks, we mentioned this movie gets dark.
Oh, this is so funny.
It was hilarious, but this is your happiest memory? Oh my gosh, your life is fucked up, lady.
Yeah, this is my number four. Yeah,
okay, then I'll let you have the whole rundown of it. But yeah, it's fucking...
It's just the one shot
of the whole scene. It was fucking great. Dave Foley being awesome. Yeah, yeah. Probably channeling a lot of frustrations that he's had with the script and the rest of the cast in that character.
I heard Dad died.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing.
Jesus. There's an eggnog over there, and then he just goes and pours himself like a shot of whiskey.
Yeah.
All right, we got to drive home.
Yeah. All right, let's go. We got to go.
Oh, that was lovely. Yeah. So sad.
Jesus.
All right. Well, then on to my number five was the Lorne Michaels stuff. We were just talking about
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, we were just talking about this on Austin Powers. And yeah.
Wow.
See, what's his face? Can't be getting mad. Garth.
there was a lot of things that felt like they were verbatim in Austin Powers. So, like, the you just don't get it.
Yeah.
He said, like, those words hurt. The outfit he's wearing at the end. Like, there's a lot of coincidences here between what wound up here and what wound up in Austin Powers. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, like, Lorne Michaels really says those things.
No, I'm sure he probably does. But yeah, it's a little weird.
That's what I was saying.
These movies, like, came out like
Andy Sandberg. That hurts.
What's I was saying, like, when we did Austin Powers, like, I know you guys were saying that what's his face was upset that they stole his bit, but like, you get a bunch of funny people around this guy, they're all gonna pick up on it and do the same thing. Yeah, so I don't know why his,
like, an over the top person.
Yeah, it's like, come on, these are talented people, they're gonna do it. This shit,
I think it was just the pinky thing that he was
getting. I know, but whatever, get over yourself, Garth. Why can't I think of his name right now?
Oh, because you're having a blank slate, Jeff.
Yeah. What? I don't remember that.
That's a Dana Carvey movie. Blank Slate.
Oh, Dana Carvey. All right. Scott, number five.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
So, my number five. Alex already mentioned one of them. The failed presentations. The guy that had the pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. But followed up by the guy that was... came up with stummies, but like larger stummies. And then somebody jokes, like, oh, well, there's some side effects, but it's not like there's flipper babies, right? Well, there have been a few flipper babies.
Yeah, yeah.
That did make me laugh out loud.
Yeah. They're dragging them out. It was only a couple of flipper babies.
So yeah, just the failed presentations, one number five.
All right, Alex, number four.
My number four is Sisqó. Not to be confused with the thong song singer, artist. Sisqó, the head of marketing over at... what's the name of the pharmaceutical company?
Roratore?
Roratore. Yeah, it's just fucking great. My favorite moment with him was when the assistant... to what's his face is like, oh, my, you know, my cappuccino's Luke. So is it lukewarm? No, Luke Skywalker, you fucking inbred. And his reaction is great because everybody's laughing. And then he, it's like he's the last one to pick up on that he actually made a joke. Or everybody, he meant that seriously, like a serious insult, but everybody's laughing. So he kind of just goes along with it. It was just a great reaction by McCulloch.
I mean, I thought that character was stupid, and I didn't like
it. I was waiting for, like, some kind of, like, overall punchline, but he takes the bird to the eye, which is funny, but...
Yeah, birds keep...
But I was expecting, like, there'd be some resolution with that character, and there really wasn't.
Yeah.
Nah, he just gets a bird in the other eye.
All right. My number four, and I forgot... how much cross-dressing they do in Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, a lot of drag.
Yeah.
And at first, it didn't bug me, but I was like, why? They don't do this in SNL. And I was like, well, SNL actually has women on the cast, so they don't have to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys know the history with them? Like, why they did? Is it because it's only four men or five guys?
I think it was just part of the, just when they were making the skits, they, like, had women. They're just doing it. Like, I don't know if there's, like, a specific reason for it.
Yeah.
Like, I do like how... They feel like, I mean, it's, there's like a lot of jokes in this movie and everything kind of moves along, but like, these are like fleshed out characters. They're not just like one-off jokes that they're doing when they do the drag.
Sure.
Yeah. Which I think, you know, they kind of elevates the, like, what they're trying to do with it. But, yeah, it was always like that.
It was. And that's what I said. I forgot about that until I was watching this. And then, they all, at one point, they all do it, right?
Monty,
all five?
Well, I think Monty Python does a lot of that, too.
But once again, there's no women in the cast.
Right.
As opposed to SNL, where it's out of necessity.
From Europe. So, they probably wouldn't let women act.
Monty Python. They'd be shut down, yeah. By the Lord of Revels.
Or put any flavoring in their food.
It's drink beer.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, number four.
Number four is I messed up my notes here. yeah, okay, no, that's right. Is like what I was talking about, lady or Mrs. Herdecker, the Scott Thompson old lady character. just like my favorite line of that whole scene when she's having her happy memory of her son showing up with the grandkids and daughter-in-law is the as soon as he walks in, "Oh, sorry, we're a few hours late, but you know how the kids hate old people."
Yeah.
Which might be the funniest line. Second funniest line in the movie. But that whole sequence is just brutal. And there are lots of like interesting stuff with some of the camera work in this movie. Yeah. Like that one feels like very claustrophobic. And they go back there later. I'll talk about it, but they're doing like the handheld camera, that shot in the beginning. I'm not sure how they even did that when they follow the taxi cab up and around and then into the music venue.
Oh, yeah. To the Suicide Club.
Yeah. That's anyways, my number four is the Mrs. Herdecker flashback. Yeah.
Are you guys going to talk about any other happy places or no?
Yes, my number one is Another Happy Place. Like,
okay, yeah. I won't say it. I'll wait. Alex, mm-hmm. Number three.
My number three is another McCulloch character, Grievo. Just the costume is phenomenal. He's got the overalls, but they kind of like go off to the side so you can still see his nipples, yeah, and the long hair with, yeah, the sideburns and everything. And the way he just walks in like a stilted manner up to the microphone. Ah, that was awesome. Fucking Grievo.
They're like, they sound like legitimate like grunge band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Scott was saying with the interesting camera work, I like that shot where, you know, this is before GoPros and shit were, you know, 4K and everything. And they rigged up the camera, yeah, so that way he knocks over the mic,
yeah, that was
and
cool.
It falls over and transitions to the next credit. That was awesome. But then at the like towards the middle of the movie, and I loved the song where he's like, "I got a new song I want to play to you tonight. I wrote it in the park this afternoon." And it's Happiness Pie. He's like, "Fuck, he's on the drug." Oh, that was great. And his new outfit change and everything. That whole video, Happiness Pie, was awesome. Everybody's wearing like plastic suits, jumping into
a
pie.
I feel like the Happiness Pie was funny, but I felt like we saw some of the production value go for that sequence.
Really?
Because yeah.
I thought that was era appropriate for a 90s video.
I mean, it's parodying
like
it
that
just
with
fine.
The plastic suits and everything.
Like, it wasn't the costumes, but I don't know. I don't know.
No. Yeah, because the costumes look great. I mean, for the look that they were going for. Like, plastic fantastic whatever, I guess, from the 60s. But no, I thought that was... I didn't... Well, whatever.
What I thought was... This is 96, right? So the early 90s was the grunge. By 96, 97, you were starting to see the more happy... more music like that. So I don't know if that was a take on that or it could just be a coincidence. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. My number three, and this was terrible, but I laughed, and it's when Chris goes to see Lorne Michaels, and he's talking about how we're going to make it a non-prescription drug. You got to think of the ghetto children.
Oh, my God. It's like, Jeeves, age. Don't you want the ghetto children to be happy?
The ghetto children. Oh, it's so
bad.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah.
And then just keep going with that. And then it cuts to him being at the real party. And then they see him on camera. Like, that's kind of what, you know, it flips to him being whatever. But just seeing him just at the real party, but him just standing there. But the ghetto children made me laugh. Oh, so inappropriate. Scott, number three.
Number three was the, speaking of Chris, the Kevin McDonald, when he plays his dad in his own flashback.
Jesus.
He's like, my dad had depression. Yeah. And then
this is my number two.
And
yeah.
It was so dark, but so funny. Just everything about that sequence. And
the way he was touching him.
Yeah.
It's like Tobias when he was sick.
So I'll save most of it for Alex. But again, we go back to Austin Powers. That same joke, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that whole sequence. So I'll wait on Alex before I say more. But the depressed dad.
Oh, thank you, because it's coming up.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, number two.
Number two, yep, is the scene. Let's continue with this, talking about the scene. He's just, damn it, what's his name? Chris, as a kid, just working on his bike in the front yard, wholesome. But I love the way they shoot it. It's a little bit blue and everything, desaturated. And his dad is, Kevin McDonald as himself. Did you give the house a good cleaning? Yeah. You're all man. Yeah. And he doesn't have the energy to put his whole hand on his head. He just kind of
swiping at his face.
Gently, yeah, swipes, not even touches his forehead, I think, just swipes the hair in front of it.
Makes the nose a little bit. Yeah.
Goes, what about the gun? Did you give the gun a good cleaning? Like, oh my God.
That's a good one. Briefcase opens up on the way in. Yeah, it just spills out.
It doubles everything. I shot my foot. there's my other foot. Yeah. Like eventually, he shot a vital organ and he died.
2 hours later.
He's like, 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Did you give the cat a good cleaning? I think out of all of them, like, Kevin McDonald is the most, like, able to sell that kind of line.
What about the gun? Did you give the gun a good cleaning? Mm-hmm. Gives him another pat. Oh my gosh.
Oh god.
Yep.
All right. My number two is during, this is with the cameo with Brendan Fraser, the placebo tests. And they all have just acne. At first I'm like, what the fuck? Is this like they're still giving them tests? They're making them, I don't know what they got. They got some AIDS sores here or something. What the hell's going on? And then and I was dying. Yeah. I've gained 6 pounds.
Already. Yeah, I know it's sugar.
Yeah. I would feel so pissed off if I did one of those things and that was the placebo test. Although maybe it's for the best.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah.
What is he holding when he runs out when they do the the gay Exodus joke again?
I think he's just got a.
He's got some kind of tank, like
a mouse cage. I thought it was a cage with a mouse.
Okay.
I didn't see the mouse, but it looked like one of those.
Mm. Yeah. Just a weird thing for him to be grabbing. Yeah.
All right, Scott, number two.
My number two is all of the. I don't know if they were taxidermied or just fake, but all the animals that were still supposed to be quote unquote alive. So like, yeah. I mean, kept showing the one on the wheel. It was funny, but you could kind of hear it making noises. And then how they had the monkey making noises like off screen. And then it was perfectly still. the cats though specifically were, I was dying when the cat falls on his head. And then he looks up and there's like three cats on the ceiling, perfectly still. I don't know if like they also had the jug or whatever the joke was supposed to be, but it was hilarious. It was just so weird. Mm-hmm. And then, Kevin McDonald's reaction, cat. Oh man. Yeah, the cats on the ceiling specifically.
All right. Alex, number one.
My number one is Wally, the gay dad. Like, his whole arc was fantastic. It's my favorite part of the movie. First, you see him butt-ass naked in his bedroom, masturbating the gay porn. And then you hear a door slamming. At first, like, the first time I saw this movie, I don't know what the hell he was doing because he just splashes that cup of water on his face. It's like, is he trying to cool down or something? Like, get the blood to stop flowing?
That's what I thought, too. He's just like, is he going to cool off like, his boner?
Oh, it's a shower thing. It's like, oh, it's one of his, he's working on an excuse. But I love his mom, his wife comes home. It's like, where's your father? And both the kids is like, he's upstairs masturbating the gay porn. Again. Comes down. Oh, I was just taking a shower. Yep. It's your dad taking a good old shower. Then he goes to the psychiatrist, but he's just like, how come? He's like, because you're gay. He's like, how come I don't realize that? Like, the whole description is like, were you, what was it? It's like you said you were grabbing his onto his buttocks very firmly. Well, yeah, I was afraid that he would fall. I mean, his pants were down around his ankles. And then when he's finally out with the I'm gay march, that was awesome. And a tragic end, unfortunately for him, when he goes into a coma with his new boyfriend. No secrets between sailors.
I did love that line. No secrets between sailors.
And the freaking, his happy memory that he was stuck in.
That's the one I was going to bring up. Is that what you're going to talk about?
That's my number one, is the army flashbacks. Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, my number one, which is a stupid little gag, but it got me good, is when they first released the pill and Dave Foley shows up with the reports. And I'm like, does he have a variety in his hand? I couldn't tell. And then he opens it up and it's drug variety and it has him. And we beat penicillin.
We kicked penicillin's ass.
I just love drug variety. I think I laughed the most over that than anything. We beat penicillin.
It's a good gag.
All right, Scott, talk about your gay.
Yeah, so the army flashback. So that was the other character I was thinking of when I was thinking about Mark McKinney. You know, MVP here is the drill sergeant. Just, we're going to do push-ups. Just his whole delivery.
All day. You and me. All day.
You're going to be on your back.
Yeah. You think that's funny?
You're going to find muscles in places you didn't even know existed. And then they cut, or they pan back, and they're like writing each other's faces. But like Scott Thompson, like that smirk that he keeps giving, is hilarious.
Yeah.
The path, though, so fucking funny. You're my best man. Like, they're supposed to be in a war zone, and it's a bunch of dudes just like taking showers, like in a gym, basically, but outside.
Well, hot dudes, let's be clear.
Yeah, ripped. They're all, yeah.
These are some punks.
Yeah.
Beefcake, right?
Yeah beefcake.
Mark McKinney's drill sergeant again is like, you're my best man. You should go over there and fuck those soldiers while we stay here and masturbate.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Just again, the look on Scott Thompson's face sells the little thing. And he runs off and he's like, got the assless army pants. Like, but just the, you go over there and fuck those soldiers and we'll stay here and masturbate. Oh my god. That line stuck with me.
Yeah.
So yep, that is my number one, the army flashbacks.
All right, that's it. Any honorable mentions?
when they go to the party and Dave Foley takes them down the elevator, in the background you can see the elevator is going up, but he keeps like lowering himself so he can still see out of the elevator until he's like laying on the ground.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think like the joke was supposed to be that he wasn't part of the other party either. I wasn't sure on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Just the park bathroom, and then doing that joke later, like with like a clown car full of gay people, basically like just running off.
All yours, Captain.
Yeah, the rabbi was named Johnson, which I thought was funny.
I didn't catch that.
A couple other subtle things. Oh, one subtle thing. When Mrs. Herdiker says that she's got a job part time as a nude model. It's real subtle, but you can see like Kevin McDonald like look down at her chest. And then did you guys stick around for the stinger?
I did not.
So at the very end,
not this time, but I know what it is.
So at the very end, after the credits. Sorry. Like they show her sad memory, and it's the kid going away in the balloons.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the stinger was the mom showing up asking what happened, and then her saying like, "Oh, I don't know. I thought he went with you." And then she says something about, "Well, now he's gonna miss the clown." Like. and then we nobody mentioned it, but Cancer Boy.
Yeah, that's my honorable mention.
Mine too.
That was hilarious though when he said, "Oh, my other brother's heart was born outside of his chest." Kevin McDonald. Is that a fact? Yeah. And then he shows up in the music video. But a little bit of trivia.
With the rap, hip hop, and folk category?
Yeah, it's weird.
Jeebus.
So, I mean, that character was supposed to be a spoof on like celebrities cashing in on helping people need like that. But,
right. Yeah.
I guess this was Paramount or whoever ultimately did this. But mm-hmm. at any rate, one of the execs. Like had like a sick family member, maybe even a kid with cancer or something, and they're like, absolutely not, you got to take this out. And they basically fought back and said like, no, we're keeping it in. And the exec basically like killed the marketing for the movie. So just some Hollywood stuff going on there. Like, and the you know, who knows, it's IMDb trivia, but the like a couple of them were like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that because then we kind of hurt our chances for the movie. And then the others were like, basically, no, like we stand by it. Like it was a joke that we thought was funny. So,
What this is sound bad. Maybe, I don't know. That character was like the most Canadian thing ever. Just like every time that he was talking, I'm like, that sounds like the guys I listen to on the hockey podcast. Something about like his Canadian came out in that one. Oh god,
I feel like Miss Hurdekir was like the only one that was like kind of sounded really Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, and Cancer Boy did too.
Cancer Boy.
Yeah.
Although I was gonna say the movie thing. So one thing I heard was that when they finished the show, they're like, all right, well, what do other like sketch troops do? And they're like, well, Monty Python made movies every few years, and that was going to be their thing, so that's why they made this. And then it bombed so bad that they didn't do anything else. And then maybe with the rift between some of the castmates, I don't know.
Yeah, they probably didn't help.
Yeah, and I guess before we leave, if you guys watched the new one that came out,
Not seen any of the new ones. Yeah, I need to watch it.
Not yet. I think I'm going to go back and try and watch the other seasons first. But yeah, it doesn't matter. It's sketch comedy, so I don't know why I'm doing it.
I did see a small clip, but I guess the premise is they finally got their money. They made their money back from brain candy, so now they can start doing stuff.
So, okay, spoilers. Like, this was also part of the trivia. The way that the new sketch show starts. Oh, my audio's screwing up. Sorry. The way the new...
Is there in the boardroom with Lorne Michaels?
Is that a couple of the characters... Like, they're... A couple of them are playing characters or whatever, and they go to a yard sale and they find a copy of Brain Candy for dollar, Canadian dollar, and they buy it, and that $1 is the dollar that makes them break even. Oh, and then but also by breaking even, they lift a curse by Satan that was put on them after the series finale of the first round of Kids in the Hall. So pretty clever. Nice. Pretty clever.
All right, well, let's rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Alex, what do you give this movie?
I have to give it a strong 5 on this one. If they just stuck the landing in the third act, I think this would have been a 6 or even a 7. But for right now, yeah, it lost a lot of steam in the last act, so I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay, I'll give it a 5 as well, maybe a low 5, but I definitely liked it more than I disliked it. So yeah, 5 for me, easy. Scott,
Almost a 6, but yes, a 5. Basically, what you guys are saying, the jokes in the middle at the end, not all of it landed, but you know when it's funny, you know it's as funny as anything.
Yeah,
which is too bad that there weren't like maybe a few more moments like that. That's what it really needed. but 5.
All right. And our crossover topic is what, Alex?
Our top 5 movies that came from sketch comedy.
This turned out to be a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
What's your number 5?
My number 5, speaking of annoying impersonations that we did a while back, but Good Burger.
I guess
that was a Nickelodeon sketch comedy show that took up. Welcome to Good Burger, man. Take your order.
I've Jeebus, barely, I don't know if I've ever seen a full version of that skit, but but I definitely have not seen the movie.
Me either. I have neither. But I just know Good Burger because that commercial and kids are always saying that in the voice. So there it is.
All right.
Those guys not got him to do anything.
Kenan Thompson. I'm joking. He's on SNL now.
He's like the longest running cast member now, right? Ever?
Knuckle puck time. Did he break whatchamacallit's Tim Meadows' record?
Probably.
All right. My number five, I think this counts. I'm going to go with Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke.
Okay.
I know they did comedy albums. I'm counting that as sketch comedy. I don't know if they did. If they were on sketch TV, but the comedy albums, for my purposes, I think count.
Okay.
So.
I thought they just did movies. I didn't know they did albums or anything else.
The whole Dave's Not Here, Man. That's.
Yeah. That's from an album.
Oh.
He's so high, he doesn't even know it's Dave. All right, Scott, number five.
So, not strictly sketch comedy, but someone playing a character with an outline of what they want to happen. And that's not Borat. Actually, the movie and character that I enjoyed more was Bruno. All characters from the Ali G show initially.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Bruno movie.
I think I only caught parts of it because it's like, I've seen Borat.
He's doing some things in those movies that could have gotten him killed, like murdered, I should say.
I did see the guy's got some
massive balls. Yes.
Yeah, the fight in the octagon.
Yes, I saw the wrestling thing. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
The movie's worth it pretty much for that whole sequence. But anyways, Bruno is my number five. The gay Austrian fashion reporter model. I forget.
Alex, number four.
My number four, and I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It surprised me, but MacGruber. Did you guys happen to catch this movie?
I've only seen the first part of it, so I couldn't put it on my list, but I did think of it.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was surprised pleasantly by how funny this movie was.
And that's an SNL skit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I've never seen it. Or the skit.
I have seen the sketches, yeah.
That's funny, because I have never seen the sketches. I just saw the movie. Like, oh, this movie's pretty good.
All right. My number four is Strange Brew.
Yep. That's a good one. Okay. I don't think I've ever actually seen it, so I didn't put it on there.
So I've heard it doesn't hold up, but I liked it as a kid. It has hockey in it. But yeah, that's a skit from SCTV. So on my list, by the way, I try to keep it all different, so I only have one from
each
skit.
Wow, I do not.
All right, Scott, good number four.
So the only one that I think was based on skits that they'd previously done. So Monty Python there, and now for something completely different, which is hilarious and worth the watch if you've never seen the older skits. I thought about some of the other ones. I think these are more born out of original ideas for those movies.
Yeah.
Although they're all heavily based on just general, you know, sketch comedy. But and now for something completely different is my number four.
Nice. You kind of ruined my number three because I didn't think about that. Alex, number three.
My number three is The Blues Brothers. Which, yeah, another one where I saw the movie and then I learned after the fact that it was like an SNL thing.
Yeah, that's like before our time.
Back in the day. Yeah,
I thought of that one too, and but I just didn't like The Blues Brothers all that much. So it went on my list.
I like that
movie. I didn't want it on my list as another SNL one anyways.
Yeah,
that was one of those movies that was so hyped. I never found why I would like the cult following that it gets, but maybe I'll give it another shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's a solid movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number three is The Holy Grail. This is my Monty Python entry, and I did not think of, it's not really based on a skit from that show, but whatever.
No,
it's from a sketch comedy group.
Yeah,
that works.
So, all right. Scott, number three.
Number three, and this could easily been my number one also, or up as high as that, but Run, Runny, Run.
Oh, I thought that was going to be higher.
Yeah.
That's my number two.
It's from Mr. Show. If I had this list to do over again, maybe it would be my number one. I don't know. But Yeah, it's it's. Have we done it for the podcast?
No, I've never seen it.
No, it has one of my favorite scenes sequences in any movie ever.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Anyways, Run, Ronnie, Run is a really funny thing that kind of fell under the radar, unfortunately. So this was their kids, not like their version of Brain Candy for Mr. Show.
Is this sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
you go.
Oh, too polite. Have you seen the kind of like the sequel one-off series of Mr. Show on Netflix? Just called With Bob and David?
Oh, I don't know that I've seen any skits from that.
I think I did.
It's really fucking good. I gotta rewatch it. I haven't seen it in like a couple years now. But yeah,
it's like awesome. Salesman at a bar skit or something? Or am I thinking of something else?
I don't remember that.
The price of beef going through the fucking roof. It's nice to find values.
Was it the live show? Like is one of the episodes showing the behind the scenes and how they did everything?
Yeah, that's With Bob and David. That's like the last episode where they did like a making of type of thing.
Right.
That was awesome. Yeah, they got most of the original cast back for, you know, 3 or 4 episodes. It's great. I recommend.
Do they have Pussifer in it?
I don't think they have Pussifer in there. Oh, they might.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number 2 is Wayne's World. I had to have one SNL one on here, and that was definitely my favorite. And it would probably cause a bunch of other bad SNL movies, but
yeah.
Wayne's World.
So if we're going to rank SNL movies, like, be Wayne's World 1 and 2 as 1 and 2, right?
For me, it would be.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Unless there's some weird thing where we're not thinking of, like, it is based on SNL.
Or there's a couple that I haven't seen. I don't know, maybe Superstars is funny, but...
Well, I would consider.
I'll take a bet on that most, Scott. It's not funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. I would consider that more of a Lonely Island thing than an SNL thing.
What? The one Molly Shannon?
Oh, Superstar. I'm thinking of Pop Star.
Yes, never stopping. Yeah. I thought about some of the Andy Samberg things, but I don't think they were based on anything particular.
Yeah. See, that's more of a Lonely Island thing.
I can't see Superstar or It's Pat or. Was Ladies Man a skit show?
I saw that in the theaters. I'm like,
I saw Coneheads in the theater.
Coneheads.
So that was a thing.
I remember that being a big deal, and I was like, what the hell? This is like from a skit that no one knows anymore.
Yeah. We come from France.
Oh, God. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. It's Wayne's World 1 and 2, and then the rest.
And the rest.
All right, Scott, number 2.
Number 2 is also Wayne's World.
All right.
Damn.
Alex, number 1.
Wayne's World. It's still my favorite SNL movie. My favorite movie based off a sketch comedy character.
All right. Well, my number 1 is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's a good pull, Jeff. Damn, that's a very good pull. One. Damn.
Son of a bitch.
He has character. He was on stage. It was like a one-man show, or what was the...
Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Theater.
That was like his act. Yeah, it was in theater that he did.
Okay. Pretty good.
So, I mean, I think the Playhouse, actually, I think it was called Pee-wee's Playhouse, was the original, like, his sketch comedy show.
Stage, then he made the movie, turned into a TV
and then he made
show.
The children's TV show, yeah.
Yeah. It's Cowboy Curtis.
Yeah. All right, Scott, number 1.
Number 1 is This is Spinal Tap.
Is that based off of characters?
They showed up on TV and Rob Reiner's whatever it was. I forget the name of the show. But yeah,
I thought you were going to say The Simpsons.
No. Oh, my vision.
Nobody rocks.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, they were from a sketch comedy show.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
Showed up on this thing. I think they played. But yeah, and then they did the whole movie out of it.
Cool.
Nice.
I learn something new every day.
All right. Any honorable mentions?
Pretty tapped coming up with those 5. Like,
yeah,
like stuff that I wanted on the list.
I'm disappointed that like Mad TV or In Living Color didn't really make any movies.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of In Living Color, and I was like, wasn't there a Fire Marshal Bill movie? No. But I think I just imagined that, and I wanted there to be a Fire
Marshal. That was just Ace Ventura.
There was...
Or a head detective, or no.
That'd be fucking great. Somebody did a head detective movie.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker was not a skit show from a skit,
no.
Right?
No.
There was... never mind.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Alright, it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, you guys might not, it's a little known fact that one of the Cohen brothers, Stephen Cohen, owns the New York Mets.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Aside from making movies, I guess he owns this ball club, and he has spent reportedly a $2.4 billion in the 2 years since buying the Mets. And it seems like that trend isn't going to stop because he has a record-breaking year for spending on a single team. Already, like, more or less, that's what they're predicting for this year. So, Mets are going to come out in, like, gold-plated, like, uniforms or some shit. I don't know.
They're going to sell all kinds of merch for the getting second place in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's cool for the Mets, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess since he's so busy making movies with his brother, he's just like, just buy whatever. Yeah, Mets.
Okay. That, it's a different Cohen, not related.
Are you sure?
This guy's like a stock market.
Yeah, one of those scumbag or something. Douches. But speaking of the other
hedge fund,
the other he's hedge fund. Yes. speaking of Coen Brothers, there is a new movie that they've made that'll be out soon.
Garfield 2?
I don't know how they're going to follow up Garfield 1.
Yeah, seriously.
But I guess they got Bill Murray to come back somehow. This movie with Woody Harrelson, where he plays a disgraced basketball coach. And the whole premise is like the Mighty Ducks, except he ends up coaching like a bunch of special needs people. Because for whatever reason, the Coen brothers are obsessed with that. It definitely looks more politically correct than any of their previous outings as far as like those kind of characters. Like, they actually might be treating him with respect this time around.
That's good. It's not like the Johnny Knoxville movie. What the fuck? I forget
what
it's
called. Yeah, yeah.
It's not that.
But
oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's the thing that's coming. So that's what the Coen brothers are doing next. Or at least one of the Coens. Maybe it was just a Coen brother.
Yeah, Stephen Coen.
Wait, am I getting confused with the Farrelly? I'm getting confused with the fucking Farrelly brothers. My bad. That's my bad. Yes. Okay.
Scott knows movies as much as I know sports.
Yep, it's true.
It's time for NIM News.
Yeah.
It was everything I said about the Coens, I meant to apply to the Farrellys. Wow, that would be weird if like the Coen brothers had been the ones to make There's Something About Mary.
Jeeves. It's a lot bloodier, I'll tell you that.
Anyway, not a whole lot from me this week. A quick Vigi game review. I picked up Fire Emblem Engage for the Switch, and it's okay.
Who?
I enjoyed the previous.
The Three Houses. Yes, the
previous game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, a lot more. That's overall just a better game. This one, they definitely dialed up the anime back up to 11, which is actually more par from the series. I think they like dialed it back for the previous game. But all that said, they added some quality of life stuff, but yeah, it just like the story and the setting, it's all, it just feels like paint by numbers. Some of the character designs are cool, which is, you know, you have to have because there's a cast of thousands in these games.
They all have the same face.
Yeah, more or less. It was just like weird stuff where you like have these little vignettes where you're like one character's talking to another and they're like, oh, well, let's go do like a lap, like some laps, we'll get some exercise. But they're like dressed in like these frilly dresses and things like that. It doesn't make any sense.
anime logic.
Like, and then they have like just the basic character stuff where like a couple characters are obsessed with food. Like a couple characters are super shy. Like, it just, yeah, it was. They're definitely not reinventing the wheel here, but the fights are still fun. There's still that kind of grind satisfaction you get from it with all the level ups and the increasing of different stats and things. So yeah, if you happen to be a Fire Emblem fan, which if you listen to this podcast, everybody is, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Otherwise, maybe wait for a sale. And with that, just another recommendation to play Phasmophobia. Give that a whirl. And that's it for me. Yeah, keep it short this week. Alex, anything you wanted to go over?
Yeah. I started watching Doom Patrol.
Okay.
Actually. Because I was looking for a new series to watch. I'm probably going to wait until The Last of Us is finished so I can binge that whole series. So I was watching Doom Patrol and it's really good. It's not an action like superhero story. It's more like a drama with some funny stuff in there every once in a while, but yeah, it's fucked up. It's really good. Good character development. This is like when Brendan Fraser was starting to come back into the limelight. Right? Cause I haven't heard.
Yes, yeah, so he was
of him doing anything for years, so he did this, and then he shows up in Doom Patrol. And then I
think he had a role on, was it Succession or something like that? But this is like, I don't know how you quantify a comeback, but yeah, he is well liked on that show, from what I understand. I haven't seen it. It's on HBO Max, right?
Yes. So I recommend. The only thing that's a little bit weird is that. It's not Brendan Fraser in the suit. He just does the voice, and there's another actor in, you know, acting out everything. So sometimes the voice, the emotions aren't matched up to the body emotions. So that takes me out of it a little bit. But hopefully, like normal people, not weirdos like me, won't notice it. But it's still a very good, very enjoyable show. So I recommend. Aside from that, I'm still playing Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight. It's still, man, for an old game, a lot of it still holds up. Not, well, see, the level design, I gotta say, is very confusing. But if you just, you know, want to go from point A to point B, it's pretty good. But if you happen to miss a key or miss something that you need to progress, going back is a pain in the ass because it's a bit of a maze trying to find what you missed. And then after that, moving forward is another pain in the ass because it's like, okay, where the fuck was I? Oh my gosh, I missed a blue key like at the start of one level, or I missed tagging, you know, a sprite because they all looked the same to open like a force field somewhere. And that level was awful. And now I'm stuck on a part that I don't know what to do, so I'll probably watch a YouTube video about what the fuck I'm supposed to do next. But I think I'm at the end of the game. But yeah, I recommend. You got like $3. Go on Good Old Games. Get it.
GOG. Okay.
Nah.
GOG, I said.
I played that shit 20 years ago. I don't need to play it again. It was hard right there.
Anything else, Alex?
Nope, right, that's it.
Just a couple things. Continuing to watch Last of Us, really enjoying it. So recommend that. Although it's zombie movie, so you know, people make decisions that are questionable sometimes. But other than that,
let's just go hide behind the chainsaws.
Yeah, I love that commercial. The other thing is I watched You People.
Netflix. It's the little Netflix preview on that one.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill.
I mean, that concept's definitely been done before, but not great.
I just saw Jonah Hill, and so Laura asked, "You want to watch that movie with Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill?" I'm like, "Yeah, sounds funny." Not that funny. It's a romantic. It's a rom com with more rom than com and more social discussions than com. And
it's a bit too serious, heavy handed.
I mean, it's not too heavy handed, but it's more than I guess my expectations were like, sweet. I haven't seen Eddie Murphy since we just did Trading Places the other day. Like, it's not that Eddie Murphy, and it's not super bad Jonah Hill, right? So if that's what you're expecting, don't expect that. But yeah, it's got a good cast. Not only those two, it's got Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I already forgot now. But there's a bunch of people.
The rest.
Yeah. I just remember because she plays Jonah Hill's mom. I don't know. The girl, I didn't know. I don't know who she was. Lauren London. She looked familiar, but I didn't know who she was. But anyway. David Duchovny plays his dad. Elliot Gould, I think. Oh, there's a bunch of uncle. There's Mike Epps. There's Rhea Perlman.
Wow.
But yeah, she's barely in it. Same with Elliot Gould. But it was whatever. And yeah, I think that's it. I've been watching videos of the new Super Mario Land or Super Nintendo Land at Universal.
Yeah, fucking jealous.
It looks cool, but it looks like it's like an hour and I'm out. Like, I don't know. It looks very Toontown-ish. And just small and just a lot of noise. People interacting and making coins go, which would be cool at first. And then you're like, all right, I'm over it.
Yeah. Then you pop over to Moe's and have a beer.
I mean, I think that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And it's weird. They call it Super Nintendo Land, but it's just, from what I can see, it's just Mario stuff. Like, I didn't see Donkey Kong, Zelda.
Just leaving it open for the future.
I guess, but it's pretty small. I mean, it'll probably be awesome in Florida or if they ever put it over there, but
yeah,
such limited space in Hollywood that I don't know what they're going to do. But and the ride, I guess, is augmented reality. It's the Mario Kart ride, and it's like a dark ride, but with augmented reality. I don't know. It didn't look that great to me, but
we'll see.
Yeah. And Alex, you didn't go on the new one at Disneyland, right? The Mickey.
No, I haven't gone there because I love those cartoons. So if the ride is half as fun as the cartoons are, I'm in for a treat.
It's not actually open to the public yet, or?
No, it just opened, I think, last Friday.
Okay. I know some other people that.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Nintendo isn't. Nintendo hasn't opened up yet. Mickey has.
Okay, that's officially open now. Okay.
Sorry, two different things.
That's what I was asking about. Yeah, it was the Mickey thing. Okay.
Yeah, Super Nintendo, I think they're doing like AP. Like, at first it was cast members, and then it was pass holders, and I don't know when it's to everybody.
I heard that for cast members, that they were doing this thing where it wasn't open to all cast members, where you had to like put in for it and then win the chance to do it.
Jeebus.
I mean, that's probably the first round, right? You don't just open it up to everybody. You open it up to like a few hundred people.
I mean, I mean that makes sense, Jeff, but I wonder, like, given like other things I've heard over the last few years, like if that's par for the course now. It's just nickel and diamond, the employee perks, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I could be completely wrong about that, but yeah.
I would just think, like, with any kind of testing, you don't stress it out with...
Right, well...
You know, you don't go to beta until you've like done...
Yeah, you have the Goombas eating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, just said.
Yeah. I don't know, when Star Wars Land opened up, did they even... I'm sure they had some cast member preview, but it wasn't like a... I don't know, so much different, that media, that property. They didn't want to spoil anything. I don't know.
I think they'd already had like interviews and maybe some previews when the cast members started rolling in for Star Wars Land. I want to say that they discouraged cell phone use. I want to say that when I got lucky enough to go on the preview of it. I don't think they took my phone, but they asked us to turn it off and they gave us other cell phones to test out like some of the scanning things around the park, around the land.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never been to one of those places where you had to turn in your phone. Dustin, he went to the Honda Center to see, it was Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, which just sounds like it'd be an awesome night. And yeah, you had to check your, put your phone in a bag at something, and then you get it when you leave. And he said it was a pain in the butt, because there was like two stations for this. Ugh. So when the thing was over, and then it's like...
Jeebus H.
Yeah.
And then like, I just didn't bring my phone.
Yeah, that's what I said. He goes, yeah, but your tickets are on your phone. It's paperless tickets. So.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, what the hell? That's bad.
Yeah. Just take the battery. I'll buy a new one. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, that's all I got. All
right. Sounds like we're good to wrap it up.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.